The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, last night was for college football. Tonight, college basketball on ESPN starting at 7 Eastern, a top 10 showdown in the Big Ten. Michigan hosting ninth-ranked Wisconsin, and that's followed by the top two teams in the SEC going head-to-head at Rupp Arena. It's Kentucky and Alabama. Both games are on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. Mike Greenberg here in our Seaport studios in New York, coming off what was a spectacular night last night. In some ways, maybe more of a coronation than it was a competition. But Alabama, the kings of college football. And we are with you here, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. The crew is ready to go. Joey Galloway is here. Dan Orlovsky is here. Jeff Saturday is here. Dan Graziano with the insight into all things in the National Football League. All that and more. Let's get it started here. It's time to get up with the kings of college football. Roll Tide with authority. Why this title might mean more than any that came before. Meanwhile, the star quarterback on the other side had a night to forget. Where should he expect to hear his name called on draft night? And to the NFL, Philly not so special after an unexpected firing that maybe we should have seen coming all along. What comes next? We'll answer that question and more as we get up with you starting right now in the only place we can. Game of the night, Dan Orlovsky, number one Alabama, number three Ohio State for all the college football marbles. It's Nick Saban head-to-head with Ryan Day. And it couldn't have started worse for Ohio State. Trey Sermon seriously hurt on the first play.
Yeah, it becomes such a big part of their offense with that run game. To lose him on the first play of the game had tremendous impact on their plan.
Devastating. Meanwhile, speaking of injured players, Jaylen Waddle tried to gut this out as best he could. Three catches for him. What'd you see from him?
Yeah, an absolute warrior legend. I mean, you could tell how much it mattered for him to play in this football game and to wear that crimson red and be an impact on this national title game. I give him a ton of credit.
Meanwhile, to the scoring action. It began with that on a fourth down play. Najee Harris getting the scoring started midway through the first quarter, 7-0 Alabama, but Ohio State was ready to match them at least early on. Look at this throw to the tight end.
Yeah, we're going
to
break this one down here in a little bit, Greeny. I just love the tempo, the trajectory of that throw up over that trailing linebacker. An awesome throw by Justin Fields.
It's 36 yards to Jeremy Ruckert, and then it's Master Teague who's playing for the injured Sermon, and he takes it in, and so now we're 7-all, and maybe Ohio State's ready to match them score for score. Second quarter, Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner. Dan, he was ridiculous.
COD, change of direction. One spot, send him back behind the quarterback, foot in the ground, and go back where you came from. Difficult to stop.
Bama was back in front, but then there was an Alabama turnover, and Ohio State cashed it in here. Master Teague again. Now we're tied at 14, and you're thinking, is this going to be back and forth? And the answer is no, because Devontae Smith only played on one team.
This is so good. I mean, full speed, turn the body, locate the football, complete extension, 2 feet down.
And then the drive would end here. Again, we're tied at 14, but it's Najee Harris again untying it off a great play from his quarterback, Jones, and he takes it in. Harris would score three touchdowns, 21-14 Alabama. Later in the quarter, again, look at another change of direction for Smith.
Yeah, just the return motion. He starts one side, back to the other, back. Now it's a race to the front pylon. No one in college football is fast enough to cover him.
And then he gets behind the defense one more time, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, let's not cover the Biletnikoff winner and the Heisman Trophy Award winner with a linebacker. You see the point, like, hey, good call, Sark. Great ball, Mac Jones. Let's just keep toying with this defense.
He had 12 catches for 215 yards and three touchdowns all in the first half. An early third quarter, this is why he didn't do much in the second half. He gets hit and he gets a little bit banged up with the fingers. He would not return, but he had done his share, Dan.
Yeah, and these fingers are going to make him a lot of money. He's one of the best pass catchers in college football, if not the best. So protect him. We saw this motion all night, Greeny. A race to the pylon, horizontal football for Alabama's offense.
That one is Slade Bolden. Mac Jones throwing five touchdowns last night. That ties the record. And then a nice moment late in the game. Alabama up 52-24. They put in their senior center, Landon Dickerson, who tore his ACL less than a month ago for a snap that is kneeled, and he comes up and he picks up his coach and gives him a ride. And so that's how it ends. A season unlike any other, with a very familiar finish. Alabama, the champions of the college football world. The final score, 52-24.
Well, you know, to me, this team accomplished more almost than any team. No disrespect to any other teams that we had or any championship teams, but this team won 11 SEC games. No other team has done that. They won the SEC and went undefeated in the SEC. And then they beat two great teams in the playoffs with no real break in between. Played 13 games and went undefeated. With all the disruptions that we had in this season, I think there's quite a bit to write about when it comes to a legacy of a team.
I think we're the best team to ever play. I mean, there's no team that will ever play SEC schedule like that again.
Okay, and so here's the crew that we have talking about it. Dan Orlovsky, Joey Galloway, Jeff Saturday with us here this morning. And for those who are just joining the conversation with us this morning, Joey Galloway, you hear the players there and Nick Saban saying this team accomplished more than any other. I can understand the thinking behind that, but just when you watch that offense, was this the best team Nick Saban has had at Alabama?
I've been covering college football for, I think, like 8 years now, and I think we've had this conversation about Alabama like four times in those 8 years.
It's like, that's right.
We keep coming back to, is he the greatest? And then it's like, is he greater than he was great last time he was the greatest? And then we go back to, is this team better than the last time we had the best team ever? All I can say is, this offense and what they were able to do, I think they won like 7 out of the 15 awards. Receiver, running back, offensive line, the center, the quarterback. They were terrific. They're a really good football team. And we saw LSU's offense last year, and we thought, man, that's the greatest offense we've ever seen. And then here comes Alabama to duplicate what they did. I just don't know that they're as dominant on the defensive side as we've seen some of the Alabama teams of the past, but they were dominant when they needed to be in their biggest game last night against Ohio State.
But again, Joey, you cover the sport, so let's say this about Saban as well. One of the true signs of greatness is adaptability. Mm. And what he has done, he used to win championships with the best defenses in the country and running the football. And he fought against the direction the game has gone. But at some point he realized, I can't stop it. I can't beat it. I got to join it. And all of a sudden, they have the highest flying offense in college football. This is an entirely different way to go about winning, Joe.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he was the guy that was saying, hey, look, I don't like these offenses that are moving fast, that are keeping these kids on the field and they're wearing them down. And then he decides, okay, if this is what you guys want to do, let me prove to you that
that's
I can
right.
do it better than you are doing it right now. So it just shows you, and I have had a chance to be on the field for the Alabama spring game a number of times, and I've always said, there is one thing I would do for this company for free. Well, there's two. I would beat Dan in golf. I would do that for free.
Yeah, that's a lie.
And then the other one is, when I get a chance to stand next to Saban and listen to him coach, that is one of the best football experiences anybody could ever have. There is so much knowledge, and he just sits there and he coaches. Everything about him is about winning football games. So you sit there and you listen, and I learn something every time I talk to this man. And it has just been a joy to be around him in my time. So I can just imagine how these players feel about him having been coached by him.
Okay, so now let's go to the game itself. And Dan, I'm sure a lot of fans were watching the game saying, why isn't Ohio State covering Devontae Smith? He's the best player in the country. He set every record there is. He won the Heisman. Why is he open all night long? Dan, what's the answer?
Who's and how's? Who are you going to cover him with and how are you going to do it? And it's sometimes you just don't have the guy. Like, it's sometimes
that's
you
right.
just look over there and say, okay, we tried everything. We put safeties on him. We leaned our coverage. We played too high. We played man. We played zone. We trapped them. We played, like, they tried a lot of different things, Greeny, and they put a lot of different guys on them. But when you have a player like Devontae Smith, that is incredibly talented, right? He's fast. He's quick. He's sudden. He gets in and out of routes. And then you match the intellect where he understands changing the tempo of his routes, the different way he seams off the line of scrimmage, the way he uses his body to lean into defenders. When you take the physical talent and match it with the football intellect, good luck. Like, good luck. You just can't cover him. So this was more about Devontae Smith being unguardable than it is, let's crush Ohio State for not being able to do what so many of us were sitting there going, what are we doing? Now, they shouldn't have played so much man coverage. I'll give you that. Shouldn't have played so much man coverage in the red zone. But it was about six being so great.
And meanwhile, Jeff Saturday, it was the second half that didn't have an enormous amount of drama. It was a domination by Alabama, but I know there was a moment that really struck you late in that game.
Yeah, listen, I'm wearing my Alabama tie for my daughter, Savannah.
You're not supposed to show bias,
for her going,
man.
There next year.
Hater.
But listen, it's so much more than just the win. And that Landon Dickerson, at the end of the game, the center for the Crimson Tide, goes out and takes a snap after tearing his ACL to kneel. Look at the hugs, man.
Yeah.
Like, this is authentic. This is dudes playing for each other. We talk about the greatness of Nick Saban. It's because the guys who are in his program play for each other. It's not just about them. It's about the guy next to them. It's about the championship. It's about the team. It's all that idea that comes together in this program. And it is a thing of beauty. I literally teared up watching it. Mm-hmm. And I flash back to my own career, finishing off with Peyton Manning in the Pro Bowl. Like, it matters. And that Saban would send him in those last couple snaps to be able to do that, it speaks so much. It speaks volumes about what he cares about. And that's the moment for that kid. And it was just so special. Again, teared up, fantastic way. The domination of the game is secondary to that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, you saw that video there, Nick Saban getting picked up when it was over. That was the player you're talking about, Landon Dickerson.
Yes, sir.
Basically picked him up and carried him across the field in a moment of great emotion. Okay, we're just getting this hour started. So much still to come as we look back on last night's national championship game. Coming up, his health wasn't good enough. His play, a lot of questions. We'll talk about what last night meant for the quarterback of Ohio State, Justin Fields. And then, who might replace Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? And what does his firing mean for the future of Carson Wentz? We've got answers to all your questions as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up. We'll have much more on the championship game coming up, but this enormous story from the NFL yesterday, where the Eagles fired their coach Doug Peterson, ending a partnership that delivered the first and only Super Bowl in the city's history. That was less than 3 years ago on the calendar. Here's the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, explaining.
My first allegiance is what will be best for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans for the next 3, 4, 5 years. It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. It's not about, did Doug deserve to be let go? No, he did not deserve to be let go. That's not where I'm coming from, and that's not the bar in the evaluation process.
All right, and so while we have no idea what those words actually mean, these are a little more to the point. This is the Philadelphia Inquirer and their headline, Dumping Doug, which is something the Eagles did yesterday. This was Dan Graziano's story yesterday. And Dan, I'll come to you in a minute, but Jeff, I just want to get your reaction quickly to the way Jeffrey Lurie handled that. He just basically said, does he deserve to be fired? No. On the same day that he fired the coach. What do you think of that, Jeff, Saturday?
Jeffrey Lurie is high to lay all this at the feet of Doug Peterson. And that's a fact, man. Listen, this is like when you dump your girlfriend and it's not you, it's me nonsense, right? The double talk, all the stuff that's going on. I mean, their offensive line is decimated. You can go through a laundry list of issues that the Eagles have faced and put Howie Roseman in the conversation, all these guys, to put it at Doug Peterson, is unfair.
Okay, so that's the reaction to what Lurie said. Now let's get to what he actually did. Dan Graziano, again, this was your story yesterday. What can you tell us?
Yeah, look, they met, Peterson and Lurie met last week. There was a lot of discussion about, you know, who's to blame for how badly the year went, what needs to be done going forward. I think there was a sense that Peterson thought it could be a little bit of a quicker retooling and turnaround than Lurie perceives it to be. And I think that's what you hear from Jeffrey Lurie in those comments. You know, he's talking about we have to rebuild this thing over the next couple of years so we can get back to a sustainable winning situation. Whereas Peterson, you know, and Lurie said this in the news conference, Peterson, the way a coach is wired, how can we win next year? What do we have to do to win right away? So a lot of divergence of opinion on that. And, yeah, look, the situation with the quarterback, with Carson Wentz, a big sticking point here. If he hadn't played so poorly this year, then maybe they win the division and maybe Peterson's still the coach. A lot works off of that. But really, overall, Lurie felt differently about where this team stands right now in terms of its present and future than Peterson did. And as a result, Peterson's no longer the coach.
And look, we may never know all of the specifics of the dynamics that led to this, but there will be a perception, Dan Orlovsky, rightly or wrongly, that Carson Wentz has his fingerprints on it somewhere. So what does that mean for the quarterback in Philly?
Well, he's under more pressure than anybody in the NFL this season. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, your organization just moved on from a Super Bowl winning head coach. It's hard to win in the NFL, man. It's hard. It's hard to find a coach that can do it and kind of evolve with the times and kind of hang in there in a city that is really, really passionate and really demanding. And so I think this is another really big moment for Carson Wentz because you guys know, like, it takes two to tango. You know, this wasn't just Doug Peterson going, I don't like Carson Wentz. Or, you know, there's got to be some self-reflection again from Carson Wentz.
That's
Jeff,
right.
You know this, to look at and say, okay, what was my hand in this? Do I need to get a little bit more understanding or easier to deal with or mature or whatever it is?
That's
there
right.
has to be some self-reflection because at the end of the day, there is going to be a new head coach because I'm assuming, Greeny, that this keeps Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, right? I'm assuming that at least raises the chances of him staying. That next head coach, Carson Wentz is going to have to sit there and go, okay, like I got to go play well and I got to be really good with the relationship off the field. I look in Green Bay and Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers and, oh, they're not going to get along and all that stuff. They've thrived. He's got to figure out a way to make sure that he can thrive with the next head coach for both of their careers.
And if we could just have a moment of levity here, Dan Graziano, can you tell our audience what happened in the moments after you broke this story yesterday?
Send it to the news desk, tweet it out. And I get a text from Dan Orlovsky, who's in his closet of dress hoodies. And he says, is this true? It's true. Like, what? Like, I'm going to fire a guy on Twitter. Like, if I'm not 100% sure.
Hey, Greeny, so I sent that text to Graz. I said, is this true? And he wrote back, dude.
I mean, there's a lot going on at that particular moment. So,
I just wanted to make sure that my eyes and what social media was telling me was true.
Yes. So you read Dan Graziano's tweet that said the Eagles have fired Doug Peterson as their coach, and your response was to text him and say, is this true?
That's all. I just wanted to ask. Is this true?
I'm kidding. I got you.
Strikes me as a real question about our vetting system, but one way or another, I thought it was a funny moment. We will continue in a moment with a lot more here on Get Up, including the one thing that could make or break Aaron Rodgers this weekend. And guess what? It's something he cannot control. We're talking about that, and Sneaky Hembo is ready for Graziano today. Here's the question. Who is the only FBS coach to win three national titles with a perfect record? It's a tough question. The answer's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And last night, Nick Saban won his second national championship with a perfect record. There's only one coach in FBS history to win more with three. Dan Graziano, head-to-head with Hembo this morning. Who do you think it is?
Yeah, I've got a guess. I don't know the answer, but I have a guess. We were watching last night, watching the game with my kids, talking about Saban and Bear Bryant, and is this the most ever, whatever. My older son, Danny, is looking through stuff. He says, do you know Tom Osborne was 48-2 in his last 4 years at Nebraska? I said, yeah, he was pretty good. I'm going to guess Tom Osborne.
I cannot believe you got that right. I literally cannot believe you got that right. That is correct. I thought you had no chance at all. Oh, my God. Greg Hanna, you're unbelievable at this. 94, 95, and 97. We are now keeping score between Hembo and Graziano, and Graziano now has the edge
win
on you. Sneaky Hembo, I shudder to think what tomorrow's question might be. Graziano, that is an extraordinary performance. I didn't think you had a prayer. All right, coming up, it was not the field of dreams that Justin was hoping for. What does it mean for his future? We'll talk about that on the way.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Check out my new show debuting in the new year on ESPN+. Our show will have expert analysis.
Yes!
Signature debate panel.
Yes!
And can't miss interviews.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
I absolutely love that thing. Okay, back to last night's championship game. We've talked a lot about Alabama. Let's talk about Justin Fields, who was dealing with a hip pointer last night, finished with one touchdown pass, led his team in rushing, but it wasn't the night he was hoping for. After the game, he addressed the way he felt.
At the end of the day, I was able to play, and we didn't get the job done, so I don't think my injury, you know, had an effect. I mean, of course, I could have been healthier, but I was healthy enough, and you know, I was able to be out there. We just weren't able to get the job done.
Still took some shots on that hip, and you know, he was not 100% tonight. You know, he was working through it and made some really good throws, made some gutsy plays. You know, kept us in the game there for a while, but. He's an unbelievable player. I love him to death, and we're really going to miss him.
He had an extraordinary career, and you like him not making an excuse of the injury last night. So, Dan, clearly, last night was not the night that Justin Fields was hoping it would be. But let's take a look at some of the reasons why he is going to hear his name called early the first night of the NFL draft.
Yeah, first of all, can you be athletic? Can I use you to open up my playbook? And second of all, like, are you able, do you have the skills, the traits, the assets to make really big-time NFL throws? Well, let's look at him as a runner, right? So we know that's part of the NFL right now. This is your traditional zone read where he's going to read this defensive end right here. If that defensive end, if he collapses as this back goes that way, if he collapses, Justin Fields. Well, now we can pull the ball. Now we can open up our playbook. We see this with Baltimore, with the Buffalo Bills, with the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL. This is a part of the game. So are you athletic enough to do it? Justin Fields is. But this is the thing that I really love, Greeny. I mean, this is a safety from Alabama. This isn't a safety from some small school that he can out-athlete. This guy's a good player as well. The defense has won the rep, so to speak, and he's athletic enough to make that guy miss in the open field and then be able to run away from the defense. That's a trait. That's a skill that we see in the NFL that's necessary. But the question is going to be, well, what kind of thrower are you of the football? This is my favorite throw of the night, maybe of the whole game. Olave's out here. He's going to inside release and run a go route. His big tight end, Rucker, is going to go down the middle of that seam. Now, this safety right here is the read. Now, three things that I love about this play from Justin Fields. Now, first of all, when you get the snap, I want to see that you're going to confirm coverage. He's going to stare to his left. There's another safety over here, everyone, all right? So he's confirming, all right, safety. You stayed out over there. You didn't come to the middle of the field because that would change my read. So as he stays out there, he's confirming the coverage at the snap. And then he's going to come back and peek that coverage. All right, now he's going to put his eyes on that safety. I told you Olave's got that outside release go route, and here comes Rucker. What does this safety do? If this safety hangs towards the middle of the field, that ball is going to get kicked out to Olave on the go route. And if that safety goes outside where he's supposed to, I've got to work Ruckert on that seam. That safety's turning his hips. Okay, that safety's driving. Here comes Ruckert. This ball's got to go to Ruckert down that seam. Justin Fields, he's making his decision. Look, he's like, all right, that ball's going to come out of my hands. But this is the thing that I love. That's big-time coverage now. I don't care if it's flag football in Westport, high school, college, NFL. That's great coverage. You guys hear me say this all the time. Don't make all the throws. Make the right throw. This ball's got to throw over the top of that trailing defender. Look at this throw by Justin Fields. I mean, that is absolutely perfect. Ruckert, big fella, get your hand out there. I love it. That's the perfect throw. So you see the ability to be an athlete, to be used in the run game, but also make the right read and throw at the same time. He's got the traits to be a big-time quarterback in the NFL.
Absolutely, and he didn't run as much last night as he frequently has, at least in part, you have to believe, because of the injury. We will see. He will hear his name called early on that Thursday night. The question is how early. We'll have a lot of time to get ready for that. Meanwhile, Dan Graziano, let me come to you as we run the hurry up around some big NFL stories. Let's start in Cleveland. What is their situation?
Yeah, hoping to get some guys back from that COVID-19 list this week. Joel Bitonio, guard, Denzel Ward, the cornerback. Hopefully get those guys back for the Chiefs game. Head coach Kevin Stefanski can be back in the building on Thursday. I asked him yesterday by text, are you eager to get back to work? And the answer was, just think, in all caps with multiple question marks and exclamation points. So I'm taking that as a yes. Also eager to get back to work, former Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, who was hired yesterday as the new defensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, replacing Mike Nolan, who was there only 1 year, obviously. The Dallas defense, a major disappointment this year. Big rebuilding project on tap for Dan Quinn, the new defensive coordinator there in Dallas. And talking about defense, the Rams winning their playoff game mainly with defense last week. Health issues for them going into this week's playoff game against Green Bay. Aaron Donald has a rib cage injury. Head coach Sean McVay said he anticipates Donald being able to go in that game. Obviously, he'll have to play through some significant pain and discomfort. They're monitoring Cooper Kupp, wide receiver, for a knee injury this week. And, of course, the quarterback situation. Jared Goff's thumb, John Walford's neck. They'll get out on the practice field today and see where everybody is.
Yeah, Goff had surgery on that thumb at this point 2 weeks ago and changed. So remarkable that he was out there last week at all. All right, Jeff, I want to come to you because earlier in this program, Dan Orlovsky said this was the worst possible matchup that Aaron Rodgers could have gotten in this round. A lot of that, of course, is based on Aaron Donald being so great in the middle of that defensive line. How much of a factor do you expect this injury to be in the game?
Enormous. Listen, I don't care what anybody says. Rib pain and that, and your core and the abuse you're going to take in a football game is second to none. I mean, it is literally a car wreck every Sunday. And he's such an explosive player, Greeny. He uses his core. He can hit you. I mean, he's a smaller guy, but he can hit you with power. He can hit you overarm or swim to get it. But with the core being injured the way it is, I'm not sure he'll have that same explosive power and be able to get guys on skates. It's going to be a big injury to overcome. And listen, this isn't a pain shot that's going to take this thing away. When you're talking about the internal part of your ribs, I don't care if it's a cartilage, if it's a broken rib, this is a super painful injury. And rest assured, every Packer offensive lineman knows he's hurt. They're going to find it, bro. He starts a bull rush, somebody go put your shoulder in that rib cage. It's going to go through every offensive lineman for the Packers. I think it is a big injury to try to overcome in the playoffs.
That's a reality of football. But so, Dan, let's look at the matchup here because you have Donald. He's not the only great pass rusher on that defensive line. And you have Jalen Ramsey, probably the best cover corner in the sport, to go up against Devontae Adams. So you said earlier you think this was the toughest possible matchup Green Bay could have gotten.
Yeah, so defensively, the two things that are what makes the Rams so great is they've got great communication and they play with the proper leverage. If they're supposed to be outside, yep, they're outside. If they're supposed to be trailing, they're trailing. Now, why does that matter when it comes to Green Bay? Now, first of all, Green Bay does so much pre-snap motion and movement that oftentimes they get a bunch of easy completions for Aaron in that offense because of lack of communication, confusion from the defense. That won't be the case against the Rams. And then they do so much with their play-action game of creating open throwing lanes because defenses get tripped up with the leverage that they're supposed to play. Again, that's not going to happen against the Rams. And so you're looking at a defense that's kind of the kryptonite to what that offense is really good at. And then also, Jalen Ramsey will shut down, yep, or at least has the ability to shut down one side of the field. I mean, if you watch some of their games, they will literally take Jalen, kind of what the Patriots and Jets used to do with the Darrell Revis, put him on with somebody's receiver, and then that allows an extra defender to go to everybody else. So Alan Lazard and Tonyan, who have had so much success because of Devontae Adams in many ways, they're going to have to deal with extra bodies. And so the matchup between Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams is worth the price of admission this weekend.
Yes, sir.
It may well end up deciding that game, I think, is not overstating it. Graziano, you're covering that game. What are the most important things you're looking at?
Well, Donald, I think, you know, is he going to be limited at all, right? Because he's such a game wrecker. And if you're talking about, I mean,
that's
Aaron
right.
Rodgers has been as locked in as any player in the entire league all year, likely the runaway MVP winner. Donald is the one thing that you can counter that with, because he's the equally special player on the other end. So if that injury is limiting him, limits the number of plays he can play, limits how explosive and effective he can be, then I think the advantage swings back pretty hard toward the Packers and their offense.
Meanwhile, there's one other fascinating story surrounding this game that Dan Graziano, I'd love you to share. We're calling it the Saturday Special about the Packers bringing in Jared Veld here. Yeah. And the Saturday we're talking about is Jeff. Dan Graziano, explain.
Well, because Jeff was a Colts offensive lineman that ended up on the Packers at the end of his career. Here we have Jared Veld here, who was, I think, teaching high school a couple weeks back. The Colts sign him to their practice squad because they lost Anthony Costanzo. He starts at left tackle for the Colts last week in their playoff loss to Buffalo, reverts to the practice squad after the game. The Packers sign him yesterday because you can do that this year. The practice squads are expanded and veterans can be on them. So he has a chance to play in the playoffs for two different teams in consecutive weeks, kind of a uniquely 2020-21 season note there in terms of how guys can move around from team to team. Interesting journey for Veld here.
I'll tell you just how unique it is. It's never happened before. No player has ever played for two different teams in the same postseason. Jeff, we're calling it the Saturday Special. What do you think?
I love it. Look, I got to represent it both ways. My man Graz has put it out there, baby. Colts and Packers, how good is this? And here's the truth of it. Veldeer actually played well. So from a guy who was teaching high school or whatever he was doing before last week, or before a couple weeks ago, he has come in and performed admirably. Listen, the Packers did a smart thing by shoring up that outside. They've been able to bump a guy inside the guard. I mean, this it definitely is positive for the Green Bay Packers.
Now, they lost their stud defense, offensive tackle, their left tackle, David Bakhtiari, to an injury a few weeks ago. A devastating loss. Okay, much more football as we go. And a reminder, tomorrow night, we got basketball, our Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. We got KD and the Nets heading to the Garden to take on the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern. Then the nightcap is a great one. Zion and the Pelicans squaring off against Kawhi and the Clippers. Our coverage starts with NBA Countdown at 7 right here on ESPN. As we continue, how is the departure of Doug Peterson being felt in Philly, and what is next? Sal Palantonio with a perspective. Next, you will not want to miss it. Plus the pancakes, coming up on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Marvel Studios' new original series, WandaVision, streaming Friday only on Disney Plus. Meanwhile, Thursday, two of the top women's teams in the country square off in the desert. Ari McDonald, one of the best players in the nation, leading number 11 Arizona against number 10 Oregon. That's 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, I welcome you back to our studio. I'm Mike Greenberg. This is Get Up on ESPN. We're with you commercial free for the next 13 minutes here on ESPN, taking you through a whole lot of football conversation. And then First Take will come your way next. And these are the questions that they will debate. Should the Jets use the number 2 pick to take Devontae Smith? And should the Eagles have fired Doug Peterson? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debating that and more at the top of the hour. Meanwhile, now, our pancakes. Set them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that.
throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him?
One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes.
Ooh!
Nobody loves the pancake block quite like the offensive lineman does. Jeff Saturday every single week with Sat Him Down. Jeff, what do we see this week?
Greeny, this is my favorite because Orlovsky can learn some. All those pretty films, you can't disguise your way out of this, Greeny. Wyatt Teller, the right guard of the Browns, pulling. You can't avoid it. You can't hide from it. You can't disguise it. You're getting trucked, baby. Put that left shoulder, left arm. Bam! Put him on his back. Give him the business. You can't hide from it, man. You got to be committed to it. Teller was more committed in it. Put the smack down on him. One pancake because he's a guard and putting him down. Orlovsky, you can't make that tape any prettier. Now, J.C. Treader, the center from the Browns. Look at him pulling. Why am I showing that? Because we're the most athletic players on the field. No one knows about. Look at him pull. He's going to catch the defensive lineman, run him. Bam! Puts him down, Orlovsky. You can draw up whatever you want. You can't avoid the noise, baby. Two pancakes. Why? Because I like centers better than guards. College football's pancake of the year. We're going to get three pancakes. There's no doubt why. Allegations. Oh, my goodness. He almost killed a human being on the football field. I want you to pay close attention because the train is coming down the tracks, boys, and there ain't no one but bam. Oh, my word. Can you believe that shot? Listen, this is when moms want to get their kids out and pull them back in the stands. Three pancakes for Alec Anderson. Smoke block of the year, baby. Well done.
You know what, Saturday? This is what I'd say to you. I wish I played with the center that pulled and put people on their back like J.C. Treader. You know what I'm saying?
All right, remind me to Google all your centers as we continue on the program.
He's one of them, Greeny.
But that, what's that?
He's one of them.
Oh, very good. Okay,
you know it.
Jeff's, that was very well played. Pancakes, Sat Him Down, a keeper. The best every single week. All right, back to the news of the day yesterday. Before we get back to the college, how about this one here? The Eagles firing head coach Doug Peterson, ending a partnership that delivered that city its only Super Bowl title, and that was less than 3 years ago. Here's the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, explaining.
My first allegiance is what will be best for the Philadelphia Eagles and our fans for the next 3, 4, 5 years. It's not based on does someone deserve to hold their job or deserve to get fired. That's a different bar. It's not about did Doug deserve to be let go. No, he did not deserve to be let go. That's not where I'm coming from, and that's not the bar in the evaluation process.
All right, we've played those comments multiple times this morning, and they make less sense to me every single time I hear them. But here is the man who could make sense of all of it for us, the one, the only, Sal Palantonio, who knows Philadelphia sports better than anybody. Sal, let's start at the top. What is the reaction to what happened yesterday?
Well, let's start with my outfit. Out of respect to Dan Orlovsky, I took off the sweater vest and put on the designer hoodie. And just to complete it, I'm going to go with the designer glasses
Legend.
Look that Dan Orlovsky likes. And I have listened to Dan Orlovsky the last couple of days, and I couldn't agree with him more. And, you know, I said on your radio show, Mike, about a month and a half ago that Doug Peterson would not survive a 4 or 3 win season. I didn't think that that was possible, not tenable in the city of Philadelphia. Still, this morning, there is sadness, there is shock. Doug Peterson completed the mission. He brought a Super Bowl title to Philadelphia. He brought a parade to Broad Street. He brought that Lombardi Trophy. And you could argue that Doug Peterson did the best coaching job in franchise history. You lose your starting quarterback, your starting middle linebacker, your starting left tackle, your best special teams player, then you go beat the dynasty in the Super Bowl. So I think people are just in shock that Doug Peterson was let go and that Carson Wentz is still in the picture.
All right, so that really is the next question. What do we believe Carson Wentz's role in this to be, and what does his future look like in Philly now?
Well, now he owns it. As Dan has put it so eloquently, now Carson Wentz owns this. And so what the Eagles have to do is pick a coach that matches up to Carson Wentz. I believe that they will reach out to the Kansas City Chiefs, that Jeffrey Lurie will reach out to his friend Andy Reid, and they will look at interviewing the following two coaches. One, Mike Kafka, the quarterback's coach, who they tried to get to Philadelphia last year as an offensive coordinator under Doug Peterson, but were rebuffed by Andy Reid. And secondly, Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator. They will also look at Brian Daboll of the Buffalo Bills, but I'm told that Daboll has serious interest from the New York Jets and the Los Angeles Chargers. And maybe they think outside the box, but maybe they go Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma, who coached Jalen Hurts to such acclaim at Oklahoma. But the bottom line is, Michael, that now you have the player picking the coach. It's like the NBA, and that's the situation they're in. They chose Carson Wentz over Nick Foles. They chose Carson Wentz over Doug Peterson. And now the Eagles and Jeffrey Lurie have to match up the head coach. The first thing you ask the head coach in the interview is, can you work with Carson Wentz? And that prospective head coach comes back to Jeff Lurie and says, hey, that's your decision. If you want Carson Wentz as your quarterback, you have to ask me whether I can fix him. It's an organizational decision to keep Carson Wentz. It's the coach's job to fix him. It's not my job to decide whether we keep him.
And so with that thought in mind, Sal, how would you describe the relative desirability of this job at a time when there are currently seven openings in the NFL?
Well, you got to start with the offensive line. And again, respect to Jeff Saturday. And when you look at this Eagles offensive line, 13 different offensive line combinations. That's not a misprint. That's the most in the National Football League. Devastated by injuries on the offensive line. That kept Carson Wentz under duress. And here's the dirty little secret. It kept Jalen Hurts under duress in the games in which he played and made him less effective as a young quarterback. So you have an offensive line that is broken. You have a general manager who kept his job, even though he may have made a $136 million mistake at the quarterback position. And you just fired the most beloved coach in team history. So the question is, and you have a quarterback controversy that you're walking into. I think the question answers itself, Michael.
Sal Palantonio with the latest. I'll talk to you on the radio today later. Thank you so much, Sal, with the latest from Philly. But we will finish it today right back where we started. Our top story of the morning, Alabama and Ohio State last night for the national championship. And after about a quarter and a half, it became much more of a coronation than it was a competition. An Alabama team that just ran away with it. The Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith was brilliant. The quarterback, Mac Jones, threw five touchdowns. Nick Saban winning his seventh title, six of them at Bama. The question, is this the best Bama team ever? They went unbeaten. They won by an average of 29 points a game. It's Saban's second ever undefeated season. They're also the first team to go wire-to-wire number one in the CFP rankings and also win a national championship. So a lot of things pointing in that direction. And let's finish it up again with the crew that can give us some perspective on all of this. And Joey Galloway, I'll start with you again. You cover all season long for us. What's the most important thing you want to say this morning after watching the way this season came to a conclusion last night? What's the number one takeaway for you?
Number one takeaway is thank you to everybody that put everything they did to get this season to where it is. We didn't expect it to get here. In the beginning of this thing, we didn't know if we were playing football at all. And we definitely didn't know if the Big Ten was going to play, if the Pac-12 was going to play, if the MAC was going to play. I'm just happy we got to this place with everybody involved, all the conferences played, and we had a terrific season. And I think every team that played football this season has accomplished something that had never been done before dealing with the issues that they dealt with. So I'm thankful to all those people that gave their time, their energy, and their effort to make this season happen.
I completely agree with that, and I'm so glad that you said it. Paul, then let me come to you. What does it mean for Nick Saban? If there were some who would say he was already the greatest coach of all time, what does this win and this season mean to his legacy?
I think it cements his legacy, Greeny, and you're right. Many of us did think he was. But what I think is so remarkable about this season, it wasn't won last night at Hard Rock Stadium. Nick Saban won this national championship back in March. Why March? When the entire sports world shut down exactly 10 months ago today, Alabama was about to go to spring practice. Nick Saban didn't panic. He figured out a way. He got his team Apple Watches. He kept up with them while they worked out at home. And when they finally reconvened, he was as laser focused as I have ever seen him. While coaches were at home, he was at work. Whether that makes sense or not, it did. And as a result of all of that, that planning back in March, April, and May, when the team came back in June, he was ready to roll, and that's exactly what happened.
And so he's so hard to read, Paul, but you're around him all the time. And again, you go back at that program to the days of Bear Bryant, so no one understands the history of it. He's so difficult to read because it's almost impossible to make him smile. But do you think this one means more to him as a result of all the things you just said?
I do. After his first national championship at Alabama, I saw him the next week and I said, "Congratulations, coach." He said, "Hey, don't congratulate me. I just have more problems now that we won." He was a joyless winner. You saw on his face last night the pride and the excitement and the energy and the happiness that he has with this team. I've never seen him this happy. I've never seen him care as much outwardly for a team. I think this is his greatest championship. Will it be the end? Of course not. We've written that chapter too many times. Nick Saban really feels like this. He's got the best recruiting class coming in. He's got a number one team coming back. He's not about to stop now.
It's a train that doesn't show any sign of stopping anytime particularly soon. Dan, let's just talk about the football team for a minute. I mean, stars everywhere you look. What is the legacy of this Alabama team?
Yeah, I mean, it's the best Alabama team that I've ever seen. You know, and it's certainly into the conversation of one of the best college football teams I've ever seen. I think back to LSU again last year. I think to the early 2000 Miami teams. And the overwhelming kind of narrative is they just made everything look easy. They just made everything look, and now it's not, but they just seemed to be on a different level, both coaching, play calling, preparation, at the line of scrimmage talent, perimeter talent. There's going to be a lot of guys that make a lot of money on Sundays, but also become stars in the NFL. And so this is the best Alabama team that I have ever seen. And Greeny, I'll end it with this. The players and coaches are going to get a lot of praise for this season. I think Joey made a great point of a lot of the behind-the-scenes people deserve a lot of credit as well. And then I think the SEC commissioner, Greg Sankey, you know, the way that he led the charge to get college football kind of off the ground this year. And then two players that we're not celebrating today. Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. We don't have last night without those two guys and their courageous leadership to get this season. So at the end of the day, it's a celebration for college football, and Alabama certainly sits at the top.
I agree. It's well said. Joey, I have 10 seconds. When we're all sitting here together again next year, a year from today, will we be talking about Alabama again? And will I be asking you, is this the best Nick Saban team ever?
Hey, look, we're going to take a year off from that. We're going to make Paul talk about the Buckeyes next season at this time.
Right, very good. Guys, thank you all for getting up with us. I know it was a late night. Thank you for making it an early morning. Thank you for getting up with us today. It is our privilege to bring you the sights and sounds of an extraordinary night. I will be coast to coast on ESPN Radio in 60 seconds, but the fun continues here with First Take now.